105.
Shorty and down, good lord. Baby, getting paid is a forte.
What up, E?
What's good, G? What's going on with
you? How's your day?
My day is very beautiful outside. I'm chilling, you know?
All right.
I can't complain.
Shields, how we doing?
I'm good. Nice to be here. Happy to be here.
All right, 105. We got a guy named Scott, and he's a Bigfoot expert. We're going to talk Bigfoot today. E, we sounding all right? We doing good?
Yeah, sounds clear to me.
All right, here we go. Alrighty. So before we get going here, you want to tell the 105 Club who you are and what you do?
Oh, okay. My name's Scott Vallette, and I own Blue Mountain Bigfoot Research out of Baker City, Oregon.
Ooh, interesting.
Right.
What a guy.
Okay, so now I have to ask before we get going on Bigfoot, have you personally seen the legend?
Yes, I have.
Numerous times or once or twice?
Well, I've personally seen one eye to eye once, but I have had encounters, you should say, numerous times.
Right.
So Bigfoot's real.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
All right.
So Scott, would you say that Bigfoot, so you're saying that he's a species? It's not just one organism walking around?
Yes. It's a species of creatures. Yes.
And when you saw him, what did he look like? Can you describe him a little bit?
Okay. The one I saw was a juvenile. It was about 6 feet tall. It was an upright walking primate. It had very almost humanoid features in its face. But very bulky, very strong, very muscular. Creature.
So what kind of species would you say that Bigfoot can relate to? Humans or like gorillas?
Okay. Well, let me put it this way. I'm actually an anthropologist and my expertise is in Native American culture. And that's what got me looking into this is because I was working with tribes all over the nation.
Right.
And every single Native American tribe has a Bigfoot legend.
Right. I was actually wondering that. I didn't know if it was maybe some Western, you know, white American civilization that kind of came up with the legend and the myth. I wanted to know if the Native Americans that were here well before us, if they've encountered it, they've seen it, they've, you know, they have all that folklore about it, and they do, which I find is very interesting.
Yeah, they absolutely do. In fact, we've found pictographs that are over 1,500 years old of Bigfoot.
Right. So you said, are you expert enough in like ape, like biology and stuff with that? So would you say a Bigfoot is maybe a relative of the Gigantopithecus found in Asia, the ancient giant ape? Would you say it's a form of that?
Jason doing his research.
Yeah, personally, I do not. And a lot of people kind of tend to lean that way.
Right, okay.
But as an anthropologist, there's some differences in like the Bigfoot I saw or the Patterson film, which I think is real, and other photographs of Bigfoot that I've seen, the measurements aren't right. As an anthropologist, we study, you know, the bone structure of animal or primates.
Right.
Is our area of study. Well, the bone structure, you know, there's some things that a human in a suit can't change. Like the width of your shoulder compared to the width of your spine, you know, there's averages that humans have, you know, how long how long the distance is from your thigh, from your hip bone to your kneecap, there's averages. And Gigantopithecus actually doesn't fit the same averages as the Bigfoot photos we see.
I did notice they're very front leaning. They kind of seem like they walked on all four on the research I've did. Hunched over more, right?
They are sort of hunched over more, but their walking pattern is completely different than ours.
They walk like humans, just on their back legs.
they do walk upright, but they walk differently than we do.
Right.
If you study the footprint casts and the bone structure that would have to, you would have to make a foot that big and that wide and that shape in the ground, their foot bends in the middle. They have what they call a mid-tarsal break. So it's more like a primate where their foot bends in the middle. And the reason their foot bends in the middle is because they do not have an arch in their foot. We have an arch in our foot, or our foot would bend in the middle too.
Right.
So, so when they walk with their knees bent and their foot bends in the middle. And if you watch the Patterson film, the foot's directly vertical to the ground after the toes just barely come off the ground. So they have a different walking gait than we do. So, so they have like a slightly different bone structure, but it is very close to us.
Right.
And to answer an earlier question, if I think they're apes or are more hominid species, here's where I'm leaning. I don't think they're Gigantopithecus, because Gigantopithecus did walk on all fours.
Yeah. Okay.
But it was a huge, gigantic primate. You know, 8, 9, 10 feet tall. What I think it is another primate, another hominid species like us, like a relic hominid. A lot of people don't understand that the way that we developed, it isn't that picture you saw when you're a kid where it's got the monkey that turns into the guy, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
That's not how it works. That's not how evolution worked. It works kind of like, instead of a family tree, I look at it as a waterfall. Somewhere back in the top of the waterfall, there is a stream, and that stream was the beginning of us. Mm. Okay. And then as it goes over the edge, it spreads out because it goes to different places. It hits different rocks and goes off different directions. Well, that's what happened. Somewhere of all the primate species, hominid species, there was an ancestor back there, a common ancestor that we started from. But as we ventured out in different areas and in different locations on the planet, we developed differently because we needed, you know, different survival techniques for different terrain and different hunting or different whatever, you know. So we developed over, you know, millions of years differently. So at any given time on this planet, there's been 3 to 5 hominid species living together at the same time on the planet.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So with Homo sapien, us, there's Homo sapien, there's Homo floresiensis, Homo heidelbergensis, Homo erectus, and the Homo nidali and Homo Neanderthal. All 6 of those species, and we're included in that 6, all live together at the same time.
Right.
Now we know what happened to Neanderthal. We bred them out because if you're from Europe or France, you know, 3 to 4% of your DNA is Neanderthal. So we were close enough to breed them out.
Yeah.
So you know that guy that looks like a caveman, he probably is. So, you know. But so why shouldn't today be any different? So I think that Bigfoot is another hominid species that's just as intelligent as we are.
Right. Mm.
They don't have the technology we do, but, you know, they're kind of maybe a smaller brain case, you know, so they're not quite as bright as we are. You know, they're not tool making intelligent, but they're survival intelligent.
Right.
You know, so, and I think part of their survival is to avoid us, and, you know, as the biggest predator on the planet is we are, you know, so they avoid us, you know, and so, yeah, as much as they can, but they still don't. I mean, yeah. I get 120 reports a year right in Oregon of people seeing them. So.
Right. All right, that leads me to my question. So, with all these sightings and, you know, all these encounters, why are people still considering Bigfoot a myth then? You know, it's not meant to be like a hostile question, but like, I'm just wondering.
Well, I think there's a problem with identifying them. If now I don't want to go down some government conspiracy theory thing here, but I'm going to go down a government conspiracy theory.
All right.
Okay. Okay. So there has been these weird reports that's happened over the years. Like when Mount St. Helens went off, there is this report that they saw, you know, black helicopters pulling Bigfoot bodies off the mountain. And people saw this. So I didn't think this was a real thing myself until the last 7 years or so.
Really?
Because I spend a stupid amount of time in the woods myself. No, I'm serious. I have about 180 days a year I'm in the woods looking for Bigfoot. So
it's crazy.
So what I do is the reason I was able to see one in the first place is when I got a bunch of reports all of a sudden from a whole bunch of people about a certain area, and that's when I go hang out in that area.
That's
where they're going to be. So three times in the last 7 years, I've had a bunch of reports happen all of a sudden in a certain area.
How big is this area, would you say?
Well, we're in the Blue Mountains in Eastern Oregon. It's 27,000 square miles of forest.
Gotcha. All right. So that's a big area that's going to take some time to monitor, right?
Yeah, it is. It's huge. It runs from the Rockies in Idaho to the Sierras in California. So,
wow.
So it's a large area, but it's actually the only mountain range that connects the Rockies to the Sierras in the Cascades. So, it's kind of a corridor. But anyway, I get these reports, and it's happened to me three times now that I get a bunch of reports in a certain area, and we go to head to that area, and the Forest Service does a controlled burn in that exact area, and it's happened to me three times.
Really?
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
Out of how many times would you say?
Out of four. So when I get a bunch of reports from people like, oh my gosh, you know, I get a whole bunch of people calling me, hey, I saw a Bigfoot, or I heard a Bigfoot, I got a rock thrown at me, or whatever.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm sorry, did you say a rock?
Yeah.
Is it kind of like how monkeys throw poop at you at the zoo?
Exactly. It's happened to me. It's happened to me twice.
I've had rocks
thrown at me, yeah, in the woods. It's kind of like, crazy. Get out of here. But, So what's happened is the Forest Service will have these controlled burns in that exact area that I'm headed to.
Right. Okay. I see the connection here.
Yeah. So, you know, one time I thought, oh, it's a coincidence, but three times in a row, it's like, I don't think that's a coincidence.
Right.
So, here's my theory. I bet you the government is probably knows about them and has known about them for a long time.
Okay.
And
I bet you the government keeps it covered up. And it's just like, you know, just like the UFOs, you know, the government's like, they don't exist, you know.
Right.
But so, and my thought is, and this is just me spitballing here, is that the reason they would keep that covered up, because what happens if we do discover another human species on this planet? What if we admit there's another human species? Do they get the right to vote? Do we have to pay them Social Security?
Right.
Do they, you know, get all the land in the national forest has to become their reservations now, you know?
Right.
So what does that do to our economy and our way of life and even religion, you know? How do you tell, you know, religious people that there's another species?
Intellectual species. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so I'm wondering if that's one of the reasons they're covered up.
Right.
Yeah, I was gonna ask that. Yeah.
It does. I guess it does make sense. I personally, we're on the East Coast, and I'm not even sure if Bigfoot are out here. I've never had an experience, but I truly want Bigfoot to be real, and I hope.
Why would you not want it to be real?
I think it would be just interesting to something great among us.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
But can you mention the Patterson film a couple times? Can you just explain? That's pretty much like the Holy Bible to Bigfoot experts, right? It's the Holy Grail.
The Holy Grail, yeah. It kind of is, yeah. And the reason being it is they've had people try to debunk that for years.
I did see that. Yeah.
And then they have had even, you know, guys coming forward. Well, I was the guy in the suit, you know, and so, you know, pay me money.
but
here's the deal. There have been a couple books that were written about this, and a couple friends of mine. I'm friends with a guy by the name of Dr. Jeff Meldrum. I don't know if you've ever heard of him, but in the Bigfoot world, he's actually has a doctorate in anthropology. His expertise was in how we developed walking upright.
Right.
Yeah.
That's his whole area of studies, and he has a doctorate in it. And he's a professor at Idaho State University.
Okay.
And
legit.
He's legit. Yeah. So he started looking into this a long time ago. And when he started looking at the Patterson film, he's the one who said, you know, this doesn't walk like a man. Mm-hmm. This does not have the gait of a human, because that was his expertise, is how we walk.
Right. You know?
And he wrote some papers on it about how this does not walk like a human. And if it was a guy in a suit, his foot would have to bend in the middle. And humans humans don't do that. And another thing is how it walks, because it walks with what he called a compliant gait. When we walk, we hit our heel on the ground, and then we vault over our hip, and then with our next step, we barely lift our foot off the ground. That's why, you know, if you're walking along and the sidewalk's a little askew, you'll trip over it.
Yeah.
Right. So, because we walk very efficiently, because we use very little energy while we're walking.
Right.
Because we developed that way back when in Africa because of a hunting style that we do. You know, we're the only species on the planet who sweat enough and who our gait is enough that we can do long distance running. We can outrun any other animal on this planet. A lot of people don't know that.
I did not know that.
Yeah, we can long distance run animals to death. You know, and we can chase animals until they die.
Right.
You know, but this creature does not walk like that. It keeps its knees bent, because its foot bends in the middle. It's kind of leaning forward all the time while it's walking, and it raises its foot off the ground vertically. Just as soon as your toes lift the ground, the foot is absolutely straight up and down. And then with that bent knee, it lifts the foot up and then sets it directly flat on the ground. Not heel to toe, the foot goes down flat.
Just flat.
And right. So a lot of people in Bigfoot reports we hear, we heard this thing walking in the woods, and it sounded like, you know, thump, 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 you know. So and that's the way it walks because of the terrain it lives on, steep hills, high ground, big rocks, trees all over the ground, tree limbs, high grass. It can step over that stuff just naturally without even having to think about it because of the way it walks. So it is suited to walk in the terrain it lives in, like it should be.
And they're mostly found in Oregon, right? You said so North Pacific almost.
Actually, they're found all over the world.
All over.
Really?
Yeah, they're found in Australia, and China, Russia, the Philippines.
So they're literally everywhere.
Oregon, Washington, Florida, Texas, Maine, all over Canada, up in Michigan. We get a lot of reports. They seem to be slightly different in different areas.
I was just about to ask that. Okay. So obviously a Bigfoot in Australia would be a little different than the one found in, in Texas.
Philippines, yeah.
Right, exactly. It would be, and that makes sense too, because, not to sound racist, but Asian people look different than white people.
No,
that's 100%.
Yeah,
it's all about your environment.
It's all about your environment,
climate.
Yep, exactly. So they look different in different places. So
it's like the same of certain species of canaries or birds. You know, you have a bird with a beak designed to open nuts and instead one to hunt insects or to eat bark and stuff like that, right?
Exactly. So they're suited to their environment.
Right.
Survival of the fittest.
And then another question we all were wondering. Do you remember that show on Animal Planet, Finding Bigfoot? Are you familiar with that show?
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely.
Does that portray you Bigfoot experts in a good way, or do you think it kind of makes your trade seem illegitimate?
Less credible.
Like Hollywood, almost.
A little bit of both, I'd have to say. Yeah, because when they're doing these TV shows, they have to get ratings and they have to hype stuff, and, right. and it gets a little crazy. Like, I don't go out in the woods and make whoops and calls and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
That has never been effective for me. And I know a lot of other Bigfooters that'll tell you that that's not effective at all. But have I heard tree knocks? Yes. Have I heard whoops? Yes. I've heard halt, you know, yelling in the woods. I've had rocks thrown at me. I've had, you know, trees ripped out of the ground and laid next to my tent in the middle of the night.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you shit your pants, man? I would be crying.
Wow. That's crazy, bro.
Yeah.
So would you say normally Bigfoot, they're peaceful, or they just like to play tricks? They seem like little tricksters almost, you know?
They kind of do. And I think a lot of the rock throwing stuff, I hear people saying they've had rocks thrown at them. I've had rocks thrown at me, but I've never heard of anybody being hit by a rock.
Right.
So it's maybe... And I think it's more of a territorial thing. It's like, okay, you're in my territory. I'm going to sling poo at you like a chimp, you know?
Yeah, get throw out. A rock at you, scare you.
Yeah.
So if you don't touch them, they won't touch you, basically.
I think that's fair. There are occasions, you know, that there's a guy by the name of David Pallades who wrote a book called Missing 411. And he kind of tracks Bigfoot by how many people go missing in the woods every year.
Wow. And,
I was going to ask you that. Do you think there's any crimes related, like missing people or someone's murdered that you think is related to Bigfoot?
I think there are. Right. And in my experience, and I've been doing this for 25 years, in my experience, I think that Bigfoots live in like smaller family groups. You got a mom and dad and the kids.
Right.
At some point, there's a teenage boy that they got to kick out to go start his own family somewhere.
For sure.
And just like humans, there's good humans and there's bad people.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. This makes sense. Yeah.
And there's probably bad Bigfoots, and they're probably rowdy teenage boys who, you know, just
little punk Bigfoot.
Yeah, little punk Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And I think maybe some of the missing people are, you know, the punk Bigfoots.
Yeah. And I'm sure, but knowing people, you know, you mess with something, it's going to bite back, especially in the wilderness. You know, you really can't. Exactly. They're scared of us more than we're scared of them. That whole logic.
Yeah, I think there are. And in the encounters I've had, I have never felt threatened, but right. I've felt warned, like, okay, it's time for you to go.
Yeah.
Territorial.
Yeah.
And so what you said, your strategy, you don't do what they did on Finding Bigfoot. You're not running in the woods. You're not making these whoops. You're not banging stuff. You just sit there and you just kind of observe almost.
What I do is one thing they did do very well on that TV show is when they have those, what they have, the town hall meetings.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What I do is I'm very prominent about my Bigfoot beliefs and stuff. I've got a website, I've got a YouTube channel, I've got logos all over the side of my truck. So, you know, no matter where I go, people, you know, see me as the Bigfoot guy.
Yeah.
And the reason I do that is so people will say, hey, I have a story for you.
I have a Bigfoot story.
Smart.
Yeah. So what I do is I collect all these stories. And I've been doing it for a very long time. And I
try to puzzle them together.
Yeah. And I've got a huge database of all these stories, and every little story has a little piece of the puzzle. So everything I get from somebody, I've been putting these pieces of the puzzle together so I can work out, you know, where they are, when they're there, what they eat, how they live, how they live, you know, what's their family structure like, you know, and I've been able to put all this stuff together over the years. And it has helped me in my investigations. Like I said, it took me up to 2 years ago until I actually saw one. Mm-hmm. And the reason I was able to do that was because I got a bunch of stories from people saying, hey, I was in
exactly.
this.
I was you in know where this to go.
And this happened. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Are Bigfoot, are they like us that eat whatever? Are they carnivorous or strictly anything?
They are omnivores like us.
Okay.
Okay.
Another thing about it, and this is something that Dr. Jeff kind of pointed out too, is, and I agree with him, is if you look at like the Patterson film, then that's probably our best photo of a Bigfoot we ever got.
You know? Right.
And because, you know, it was like 1967, there was no digitally making anything.
You know? There was no Photoshop back then.
Yeah. So if you take and take the measurements from that creature, you know, the shoulder to hip, they have a lot longer in other photos, you know, and like the one I saw and other photos I've seen that people's got over the years, the ones that I are legitimate photos, not people in suits. But, right. And I can tell the difference in an instant because your body's not shaped like a Bigfoot body. So anyway, so, the legitimate ones, they have a lot longer torso than we do. Mm-hmm. So, and that serves a purpose. They have a longer intestinal tract than we do. So they're able to eat stuff that we could not get nutrition out of that they can.
Okay. Which makes sense.
So tree lichen, fruits and berries and stuff like that. And then they are carnivores. We have found several deer kills from Bigfoot. And
now, can you tell, how does a Bigfoot kill a deer? Like, obviously, you know, coyotes and wolves will kind of, usually they start it from, and it's gross, but usually coyotes, they eat a deer from its asshole and they start from there. Coyotes right. and wolves, Bigfoot, what do? They just kind of strangle it or what?
Do they
throw rocks at it or?
No. They actually, well, being 8 foot tall and by the way they walk, they are extremely fast.
Right.
If you've got a 6 foot gait, if there's 6 feet, in every step you take, you know how fast you can go. Okay,
you got some pace.
So they actually run them down, and I've got reports and people's actually saw them do this. They will actually run down a deer, grab it and snap its neck.
Right,
because they're extremely strong. There is a video that was somebody caught and. And of course, with video these days, you can't say that's legit or not.
Yeah. Right.
But
this one was very interesting, though, to a point where they caught a video of a Bigfoot who grabbed a deer that was in a little pond next to a pond.
Yep.
And the Bigfoot was holding the deer's head down in the water, drowning it.
Almost like an alligator.
Wow. Smart enough to do that.
That's smart.
That's wild.
Yeah. Go ahead. I was going to say, one of the things, lagging out?
Okay. No, you're good. We hear you.
There we go. Okay. Okay. Oh, okay. Anyway, I was going to say the one thing that I have personally found.
Okay.
Was the fact that, we found a deer that was in a tree. Not like a hunter had shot it and hung it from its legs.
Right.
You know, this was laying on two limbs sticking out of the side of the tree. It was laying across them, but it was 8 feet in the air.
Where were you when you found this?
I was in Eastern Oregon.
Oregon.
Yeah. And it was laying across the limb. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, if that was killed by a cougar, cougars don't generally pull their, you know, some big cats do take their prey up.
I know like leopards and jaguars kind of throw it up there.
Yeah, they do. Cougars do not. And we don't have leopards and jaguars in Eastern Oregon.
Right, right.
But this was laying across these two tree limbs. And then after examining the deer, it had no gunshot wound. It had no, its neck was broken, It had no puncture wounds, no claw marks, no bites, no nothing on it, just a broken neck.
Wow. So when you stumble upon that and you're seeing no hunter, no human interaction, you know cougars don't put the meat up there. What's going through your mind?
You're like, hey, what's going through your head? Here?
I need to.
Is like
I'll be out.
No, I'm like, I need to put up a whole bunch of cameras and watch this thing for days. So
okay.
that's what I do. but we put up trail cameras and left the area. So
nice.
So hoping it would come back for it. It did not.
No, that's a shame. So my final question here, unless the boys got something else, you did mention you put cameras and stuff up. So that's going to lead me to technology. Do you think the advanced, technology gets better every year? You think you're going to have more success in the next couple of years because of technology, especially with drones? I know drones are a huge thing now. They're incredible with footage. They
right,
get high up in the air, and they're very cheap too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I actually have a drone that I use, but I really need to get. They need to have thermal cameras for drones, which are very expensive. I think that will help, but really what we're up against in this is a matter of numbers. In the Wallowa Whitman National Forest where I'm at, I went to the Forest Service and asked them how many animals are in the woods. Mm-hmm. So they said there's about 10,000 deer in our area.
Okay.
And so I see deer all the time. And they said there's probably 8,000 elk. So I see elk all the time too.
Yeah.
I meant about every other time I go out, I see an elk.
Yeah.
They said there's 800 to 900 bears. Now, I don't see a bear about every other year. I will see a bear in the woods.
Okay.
And they said there's like 400 cougars in that area. But I have never seen a cougar in the woods. I'm pretty sure a cougar saw me, but I've never saw one in the woods.
Yeah.
But
you up.
So yeah. So but if there's like 20 Bigfoot in this area, my chances of actually running across one
slim.
Decimal chances. Slim.
Yeah, decimal chances.
And you did mention that Bigfoot are predators, and you have your herbivores will be more in quantity. Like basic biology, you're gonna have more herbivores and less carnivores. Your chances are just gonna be slim.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be slim.
Right. All right, boys, you got anything else for?
Yeah, I got something. So you mentioned how we might not be the only species out there. Are you familiar with Bob Lazar at all and his studies? What's your insight on that? Do you believe we're alone? And, what do you think about everything?
Okay. I don't. It's a pretty big universe. So I'm pretty sure we're not alone in this universe.
But this is getting deep.
We can't be the only species, in the universe, intelligent species.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure we're not the only intelligent species on our planet. Now, being able to traverse that distance, there's another question.
Right.
If there's some there, I'm sure there's species a lot older than ours and a lot more intelligent than we are, or a lot more, have a lot better technology than we do.
Yeah, more advanced.
Yeah. So I think we're alone in the universe? No. Do I think there's a possibility that their UFOs have landed on this planet? Absolutely.
Right.
But do I think Bigfoot are aliens? I do not. Because we actually have Bigfoot DNA. There's up to, I think we're over 100 samples of this unknown primate DNA that has been found out in the woods. And speaking of technology, DNA is probably better than the camera technology.
Right.
Right now they're just testing this new type of DNA sequencing that they call environmental DNA. It's a whole new thing where you can take a cup of water out of a pond and you can tell what animals have actually drank from that pond.
Really?
All the species who's ever drank from that pond.
So this could go back to the dinosaurs, essentially.
Yeah, essentially it can. Yeah. So we've got over 100 sets of DNA right now that is an unknown primate.
Right.
Like us. So
that's exciting.
So there's that right there.
Right.
So, and but with that said, and this is something I learned in, you know, anthropology class 101, was that everything from Earth has a base sequence that you're from Earth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like we have the trees on this planet has a sequence of DNA in it that we have in us. So we have the same Earth DNA base.
That's carbon, right? Am I right? No,
it's a DNA.
Oh, DNA. God damn it.
No, it's a DNA strand that tells you you're from this planet.
Right.
Okay. So like trees have the same sequence. We have the same sequence, plants, animals, it doesn't matter. You know, it's an Earth DNA. Anything right. that's living has this Earth DNA.
The Earth stamp on it, essentially.
Yeah. So the unknown primate DNA we have has the Earth stamp on it.
Okay.
So they're from here. There is only one animal on this planet that does not have that Earth stamp DNA.
Ooh, what's that?
Octopus.
Octopus?
Yeah, shoot. They're not from Earth.
They don't look like they're from Earth.
Yeah, they don't look like they're from Earth.
Yo, that's crazy.
Octopus, that's actually really interesting.
Yeah.
We eat aliens.
Yeah, we are.
Iman, you got anything else? Or?
I got one more question. All right. So there's, you know, many sightings from long, long time ago. So my question is the Bigfoot numbers increasing or like decreasing? Would you say?
Good question.
Oh, I think they are increasing actually.
Increasing. Really? Okay.
Yep. It's another thing with the statistics, you know, of it, if I can say the word right. There's more sightings today. And this could just because we have better communication today than we did, you know, 100 years ago.
Yeah, but sure.
We get more sighting reports now than we have ever in the past.
Right.
But there are less people in the woods today than there was 100 years ago.
Right. We're in offices now. We're in computers.
Yeah, cities.
Yeah. We go shopping in a grocery store. We don't go hunting for our food like we do.
Hell, you go shopping at your home now.
Yeah, exactly.
It's making sense.
Yeah, so we actually have more reports, but less people in the woods.
Right.
So that tells me that the Bigfoot numbers are probably growing.
Okay, that makes sense.
All right. Well, Scott, this is probably the best interview I've ever had, I must say. You are an expert in your trade.
Thank you.
You just pulled out information that I had no idea about it.
It opened my eyes to mad things.
Definitely. I think you open up the eyes to everyone that just if you really stick to science, biology, and anthropology, there's a chance.
There is.
It's a fact. That could be. So thanks for coming on. I hope you stay healthy with Corona. I mean, you're in the woods anyways. You're fine.
I'm in the woods. I'm fine.
You're good. So just keep doing what you're doing. Is there any links or websites you want me to shout out for you?
We have a YouTube channel. It's Blue Mountain Bigfoot Research, and we do live streams every Sunday night.
8 p.m. Eastern.
And
8 p.m. All right.
Yeah, it's 8 p.m. Eastern time. And then because we are now in the east, I left Oregon a couple weeks ago and we are now in Maine. We're going to spend the summer here.
Are you close?
Yeah, we're in Buffalo, New York. If there's all
right, do it. Yeah. So, it's Blue Mountain Bigfoot Research on YouTube. And then we have SquatchOregon.com is our website.
All right, I'm gonna send you an email. You're gonna send me those. I'll put them in the link for you, the description.
Okay, perfect.
So perfect. Again, Scott, thanks for coming on. I had a great time and stay healthy.
I liked it. I miss.
All right. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank
see you, guys.
All right. Have a good day.
Boys,
that was very interesting.
That was good.
It was legit.
That was legit.
It really was.
At first, I thought Bigfoot guy gonna be wacky. He had his shit together.
Bro,
he was reasonable.
He was
like a reasonable person.
Dude, I honestly could walk away from this podcast and say Bigfoot's real. Scott, if you're listening to this part, buddy, knowledge. That was awesome. You're great.
Yeah.
I wish you find Bigfoot. I want you.
I hope he does.
I want you to get all that wealth. I want you to get all that wealth.
Catch Bigfoot in a little fish trap.
Dude, it, honestly, like, it makes sense. It does.
Yeah, I mean, I can see, I can see where he's coming from. You know, like,
I'm
not going out to the woods by myself.
Oh, I'm not gonna go hunting.
Yeah, no. I'm not looking for the Bigfoot right now.
He said he just, you know, every step Bigfoot takes is 6 feet. Like, I'm not going against that.
It can catch me. It catch me.
He's not throwing those curl stones at ball. Me.
It no, me faster
I'm
curl
serious.
Up in the
that
ball.
that was really good.
That's crazy.
He had his shit together and
snacks. Yeah. Yeah.
And his knowledge of anthropology.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he just
everything up.
He was dropping. He was talking his shit.
He pulled nothing out of his ass.
Yeah, he was. No, he was talking. He was ready. He was ready to be.
He had all.
He was ready
facts.
To be interrogated.
Right.
He was ready.
Right.
It's so, like he's, it's like people probably came across him like, yo, you talking bull right now. Bigfoot not real. And like, he would just drop knowledge.
I'm telling you, we're very open-minded people and we heard him out. Yeah. And I'm on Scott's side. But I'm sure if there's assholes out there who are saying Bigfoot's real, not real, Scott puts them in their place, dude.
Right. 100%. Yeah.
Scott will put
them in their place. He lets them know.
Scott's a G. All right. That's well, a, five. That's go a support good dude right boy, there. Scott.
That's a good dude right there.
Check the link. Go follow him. Give the guy some support. Let's
25
let's find Bigfoot.
Years.
105 Club. Let's years. Find Bigfoot.
Start a little Patreon.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Oh, that
he
was,
spent 25 years, like,
I
you know, researching and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, that's dedication.
I actually enjoyed, like, this is the best podcast I've done. And I'm so happy right now.
Dang, that was good.
Yeah.
That was good.
An octopus. I did not know that.
Dude.
It makes sense. Those are fucking weird.
You had no idea.
Yeah. That's an octopus for sure.
Bro, you had no idea what was going on in my mind when you said that, bro. Yo, we eating aliens, bro.
Yeah.
It's people that's eating aliens.
No, I really genuinely enjoyed that whole how long we've been recording.
Yeah, that was good. That was good.
That was awesome.
I like that.
Well, boys, you know, we've been on here longer than usual. I'm not going to keep y'all much longer. But 105 Club, if you're listening, follow us, 105 Club on Instagram. I'll put the link in the bio. I'm going to put a poll up. I want you to guys know. I want to know if you guys believe in Bigfoot.
Bigfoot real or not.
Yeah, I do. Big things are coming. Next week, we're having a dinosaur expert.
Crazy things coming.
And then just, you know, I have an inbox. All these boys have inboxes. Hit us up if you want to hear something. I could make a phone call. We're adding Shields to the 105 Club. I think you're in the stripes today. Shields, you want to tell people your IG, whatever.
It's just Shields, actually. Two D's and two S's. Give me a follow.
Give me a follow. News member 105. We put him through, what's it called? We hazed him for the week.
Debriefing.
He's all clear. He made the cut. So, Iman, I stay healthy.
Hey, bro.
105, stay healthy. Hey.
Hey, we good. We good over here, baby.
105, let's find those Bigfoots, huh?
Yo, I'm not going out there, though.
105. Cutting it down, good Lord. Baby, getting paid is a forte.